The last time Sister Simone Campbell, executive director of the Network Lobby, was with us on the show, we were talking about her brand new book, A Nun on the Bus, How All of Us Can Create Hope, Change, and Community. Now, one thing seemed clear. It was going to be a long time before another grueling national bus tour put her and other sisters back out on the road. So what happened? Network has announced that on September 17th, the third bus tour will be heading out from Des Moines, Iowa, and here to talk about it is the original nun on the bus, Sister Simone Campbell. Simone, welcome back to State of Belief.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you, and yes, it is totally surprising that we're doing this. So glad to talk about it.
I really am both intrigued and thrilled about the theme chosen for this year's Nun on the Bus tour. Tell us about it.
The theme is We the People, We the Voters. And really what got us back on the road was we were realizing that big money is swamping our democratic system. Mm. And so far, big money doesn't vote. We vote. And so what we're about is creating voters for the 100%. That everyone is welcome to the table, but we're asking those who have a lot of money, leave your money outside the door, but bring yourself in so we can have a conversation about where are we going as a nation and how do we work together to really create this more perfect union, or the common good, as we call it in our tradition. So what we're about is pushing back against big money, but giving people hope. Their voice matters. Their voice counts. And so making sure that people vote, getting houses of worship, churches, synagogues, mosques, getting schools to commit to be 100% voters so that everybody gets out and votes this November.
Talk about your biggest concerns around the money issue.
Well, I think what happens with money is that there's so many advertisements, negative, there's pushback ads, misrepresentations, all kinds of moneyed, fueled advertising that then just gets people depressed, separated, isolated. It becomes way too complicated and people just turn off. The thing that got me finally to agree to this bus trip was in the summertime, there was a poll release saying that 60% of the American public did not know that there was a November election. And it matters hugely that if we're to be a democracy, we've got to do the hard work of democracy. Mm-hmm. And that means slogging through this election cycle. But I think what happens is too often all these ads are seen by individuals in an individualistic setting. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is create community so that I'm nourished by the fact you're going to vote. And you might be nourished by the fact that I'm going to vote. And we can have differences of opinions, but we're all engaged in making our nation better. Mm-hmm. That's what we all want. But it just feels impossible sometimes. So I've been saying that hope is a communal virtue, and the only way that we can generate hope is together. Oh, and great. So our bus, we hope, will be a lightning rod for hope, and that all of us together can make our union better. Now, one of the things we're going to do on the bus, which I'm really excited about, is that we've got this beautiful wrap. It says, We the People, We the Voters, and we've got the various states that we're going to. But everybody along our route who commits to voting and mm-hmm. supporting voters gets to sign the bus. So by the end, we're going to have thousands of people riding the bus. So everybody can be on our bus. It's not just nuns on the bus, but it's all of us on the bus. Commit to vote. That's what we need.
Why did you decide the bus was the best way to highlight your concerns and engage voters?
That's a really good question, because I was resisting for a very long time. I thought, there's got to be another way. We need something new. But what I was told is that this has entered people's imaginations, and that people love seeing the bus turn out. Mm-hmm. And so if we can give a bit of joy in an otherwise bleak political landscape, I'm more than willing to do it. So a part of it is to bring joy, but the other part is to bring the practical reality that we want to get close to people and people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to a lot of low-income communities, we're going to immigrant communities, we're having business roundtables, but it all requires some transport of some form, and we're not the high fancy, you know, fly in on the jet type.
Yes.
So
yes.
A bus gets us really close to people. We actually tried to plan the original trip with public transportation. And so it was going to be a none on your bus. But you know what we discovered? In our nation, it is not possible to do much of a bus trip on public transportation. It just wasn't possible in Iowa to figure out how to do it. So we had to surrender and create our own bus, but it gets us close to people. That's the only thing we care about.
Well, I do understand the significance of starting in Des Moines this,
yes.
this Thursday. And you've told us about the possibility of people signing the bus, but talk a little more about the activities you're planning during the stops.
We're going to various sites that are engaged with a variety of people in Minnesota. We're going to this site that does this wonderful work that provides voicemail for homeless folks so that they can get messages. And we're working with them to put in their voicemails about voting and helping them navigate, making sure that they're registered and then voting. In Iowa, we're going to several places where families gather to work with kids on school readiness and reading remediation, those kinds of things, and work with the parents on making sure that they're ready to vote. In Kentucky, we're really excited about working with some of the college students about how they can not only vote themselves for the first time, but also support other voters. And one of the things we've realized is that people need to be prepared to vote. People get put off by not knowing how to do it or being a little intimidated about the process, worrying that they don't have, because there's now so much messaging around how you need ID and all this other stuff. So college students are fanning out across Kentucky to help people figure that out. So we're going to work with them, learn what they're doing, and then hopefully spread the information around. And then in the evenings, we're going to be doing town halls where we invite the 100% to come together, and we're going to have some civil discourse. I'm going to lead civil discourse, civil dialogue about what matters to people in your area. And we're inviting candidates to come and listen, not come and talk, come and listen to what matters are of concern to the people in the area. And through facilitated conversation, we're excited. Our sisters are going to fan out around the town hall. We're going to do small group conversation about what matters and then pull it together in a summary and educate ourselves about what's happening. So I think we've got a good breadth of activities. I'm really excited about
it. Oh, listen, what you've just described, it just excites me to no end to know that that kind of thing will be going on. Now, if I understand this right, you're going to be on that bus through 10 states over a month, ending in Denver on October 20th.
Yes, that is true. I can't quite believe it. But there's one little caveat that we're doing bus activities in Denver, but we couldn't afford to bring the bus that far west. So we're actually taking ourselves without the bus, and we're going to have a van once we get to Denver. It just costs too much money to get it that far, but we're excited about it. We're going to be doing the same kind of programs and the same activities. So,
how can our listeners keep up with the schedule?
If you go to nunsonthebus.org, it'll take you directly to our website, and there's a glorious picture of a bus up there. And then it has various like buttons for each state that we're going to. And you can click on the button for your state, and it will show you the list of activities that we're doing, the dates, the times, and if you want to RSVP, let us know you're coming. That would be great.
And if folks are listening who may not be able to make it out to one of the stops on the tour, do you have resources available for them?
If you're not in one of our states, we've got the other 40 states in the District of Columbia. We have resources up on our website, Nuns on the Bus or networklobby.org. There's how to do a town hall in your own area. It's engaging in the important work of helping people vote, being a voter yourself, getting your community to be 100% voting. And then we're hoping people will let us know if you've taken the pledge, and we'll post it, give you some notice, notoriety, and encouragement along the way. The other thing that your listeners can do is we've gone modern, and so if they text the word nuns, N-U-N-S, to 877-877, you'll get a text back with some basic information, and then we can link you to your state's information about voting, about voter registration, and also we can connect you to your actual polling place and the issues that you're facing in this election. So there's a lot of resources.
Oh, boy, that's terrific.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's fabulous. It's a lot of collaboration among a lot of groups making this happen. I'm really excited about it.
Sister Simone Campbell's the Executive Director of NETWRC, a National Catholic Social Justice Lobby. She's the author of the book, A Nun on the Bus, and that's what she's just about to be once again. As another Nuns on the Bus tour heads out this Wednesday under the banner of We the People. Simone, it's a vitally important issue, and I'm grateful that you and NETWRC are lending your visibility to it and affirming the importance of it. You know good and well that you have our prayers and wishes for safe travels and our gratitude for you being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Oh, it's an honor always to be with you. And this time on this bus trip, we the people hold the power. I am so excited that we can all vote. It makes a difference. Looking forward to it.
All I know to do is to say amen.
Amen. Okay. Thanks, Logan.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. I'd like to say a big thank you to Mike Papantonio for once again welcoming us to the Ring of Fire Studios here in Florida, and to Scott Milliken, executive producer at Ring of Fire, for devoting so much of his time to the taping of State of Belief Radio. Without the financial support of State of Belief listeners like you, this show wouldn't be possible. If you made a donation this week, thank you. If you find value in what we're doing, I urge you to join our other generous supporters today. Please visit stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. The kind of inclusive, respectful approach to interreligious dialogue that we strive to present every week is virtually impossible to find anywhere else. So please, consider helping us to keep this important work going. Stateofbelief.com is where you'll find out more about the show. You can hear extended interviews there, watch in-studio videos, read transcripts, and sign up for our podcasts. Please stay in touch with us throughout the week. You can do that on Facebook and Twitter. We have a listener line. The number is 202-681-4246. We'll always be glad to hear from you. And we encourage you to tell others about the show and encourage them to listen as you do. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was.